I've got one more week after this, but we're continuing our series on waiting for Jesus. And I know that some of you are waiting for some really important thing, some kind of breakthrough. Maybe you're hoping to have a child and you're waiting for that you might become pregnant. Maybe you're waiting for a relationship. Maybe you're waiting for someone to come back. You know, sometimes people just go off in some way or another, and you're waiting for them to come back. Maybe you're waiting for a college application or job interview to come through. I don't know what it is, but we all wind up waiting in some form or fashion. And today, and in this series, we've been looking at four people that were waiting on Jesus. And I can tell you, there's one of the reasons we have gifts all over the stage is because I believe that God has a gift for you today in his word. So let's go to him in prayer and welcome him and tell him in our hearts that we're listening to him. Lord Jesus, you are the only one who has anything worth hearing. And so, Lord, we all, whether we're the speaker or whether the listener, we all humble ourselves before you. Would you teach us? Maybe you're going to teach us through what's said. Maybe you're going to teach us just silently and through your spirit to our spirit. But we need to know what you're thinking. Teach us this morning how to wait. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I love this guy. We're going to look at a guy named Simeon. And we only really hear of Simeon once, but what we learn from him or through his life, I think is going to be so significant to you. Luke chapter 2, let me tell you what's happening. Mary and Joseph, you know, Mary's the mother biologically of Jesus. Joseph is the legal father, not the biological father. 40 days have passed since Jesus was born. So he's still a little bitty baby, right? But his parents are bringing him into the temple because there's some ritual, customary Jewish thing, customs that they do. And so they've brought them in. And here's what the Bible says in Luke 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites, that's what I'm talking about, that were required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. There's an awesome story behind that. No time for it today. Okay, so they've taken him there to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. It was an offering that was made for the firstborn male of every household. Okay, so Mary and Joseph, imagine this massive temple. I mean, this is in Jerusalem. It's huge. They've come into the courtyard. There's people everywhere, right? And as they walk in, here's what we find. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He's our guy. He's the guy we're looking at today. And the Bible says that Simeon was righteous and devout. Now, we talked about righteous last week when we talked about Joseph. But that word devout, you know, we don't use that word very often. I don't know when the last time, have you ever used the word devout? Usually, when I think of the word devout, I think of serious religious person. That's what I think of. But every word in the Bible matters, okay? There's not a word that's in there by mistake. So when you come across a word, you know, stop and ask God, what does this mean? In fact, when I came across the word devout, I knew I was supposed to go deeper on it. One of the ways I go deeper is I use a website. Get ready to write this down or remember it. It's called blueletterbible.org. It has all sorts of tools for people who aren't fluent in Hebrew and Greek, but want to know kind of more than, you know, when we translate something, sometimes there's more to it that we're not able to capture in the English. Blueletterbible.org. So I looked up the word devout, and you know what the word devout means in Greek? It means taking hold well. So Simeon was righteous and taking hold well. What in the world does that mean? Taking hold well. Well, two pictures came to my mind, and here they are. One is of my mother's greenish porcelain chocolate set. You know what chocolate means in Greek? It means do not touch this on pain of death. That's what I mean. She had one of these when I was a little boy, and it was in that room, our living room. And you know the one thing you never do in a living room? You live. You don't go in it. I mean, in our place, I don't know what you call your room, you know, but we had this room and it was full of very nice things that I was not to touch. It had furniture that was, you know, you're supposed to sit on furniture, not this furniture. You don't sit on that. That's for looking. And you've looked enough. You're wearing it out. So we, but there was this chocolate set in there. And one day, okay, it never held chocolate. I'm bitter, you can tell. Okay, we never put something good inside of it. It just sat on the buffet. And I only learned recently what a buffet was. I thought it was Golden Corral. It's not. It's a nice piece of furniture. All right, so there's this chocolate set sitting on the buffet. And one day when I'm about 12, my mom says, Kirk, would you bring the chocolate set to me? And I'm like, what? And so I go to this chocolate set, and there's handles, and I pick it up. And nothing's glued down on that thing. I thought maybe it was just one piece, but no, every piece. And so it's rattling as I'm carrying it, because I realize that this thing probably means more to my mother than I mean to my mother. No, I'm just kidding. She's over there. So I'm carrying it, and I'm like walking like this. My eyes are glued to it. Somewhere in my periphery, I'm peripheral vision. I'm trying to make sure I don't trip over everything. And I'm carrying this thing with great reverence and fear. I have taken hold well of this chocolate set. That's Simeon, at least in part. I think Simeon was awed by the holiness of God. Holiness means those characteristics of God that differentiate him from anybody else or anything else in all of creation. Simeon is awed by this. He knows it's incredibly valuable. He knows he's not worthy to take hold of the things of God, but God has allowed him to. So there's this reverence that's part of being devout. But then there's this other side of being devout, this other side of taking hold well, and it's pictured in the inner tube. These are not my daughters, but I have three daughters, and one of the things they love to do in the summer, we'd go with a family out water skiing and tubing. And this family had this inner tube that had handles for three people. So we'd put Sir Grace and Ellie on the side, and little Mary Callan was in the middle, all right? And they'd squish her in there, and then we would take off, and they would scream, and they would smile, and they would laugh, and if they fell off, they'd get back on, and they held on as tight as they possibly could for the ride of their lives, and that's what Simeon was too. Part being devout is not being, oh, Mr. Serious, walk the line so I don't disturb or upset this big God of mine. It's reverence for who he is, but it's also joy because he brings joy to our lives. It is the ride of our lives. The creator of our lives wants you and me to experience all that he made life to be. And so Simeon is devout. He has reverence and he has joy. And Simeon was a man who was characterized as the only thing we know about him was he was a man who waited. And Simeon was a man who waited well. And that's what he's going to show us today. What we're going to learn is how do we know we got to wait, but how do we wait well? So let's look. In verse 25, we're told, I'm already out of breath, and I just got going. Simeon's, we're told, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. You know what waiting means in the Greek? And I'm not trying to impress you with the Greek, unless you're impressed, then of course I am. But it means to expectantly look forward to something and to greet it with a favorable welcome. This is who Simeon is. He's waiting with an expectation that God is going to do something and deliver. He doesn't know how, when, what it'll look like, but he's got his eggs in God's basket. His hopes for his life are not based upon how well he's going to be able to do this or that or the responses or affirmations of people. His hope is in the Lord. And and Simeon, he's a normal guy. He's not of some religious order. He's not a Pharisee. He's not a scribe. He's just a normal guy who's got to work a normal job. He's likely married. He's likely got a family. He's normal in every way, except something is also very different about him. And this is my first point, that number one, waiting well always transforms us. And it transformed Simeon as well in his waiting. Sometimes we look at waiting as almost it feels like death. We want the breakthrough. We want what God has for us, what we're longing for. And we're waiting and we feel like we're wasting our time. But this is really important. Waiting is never wasted when we wait well. Now, it may very well be that the most important thing that God is doing as you're waiting for this breakthrough, it may be that in the waiting, God's doing that most important work. Like, this is where he's doing it. We're focused on the breakthrough, and he's like, no, the breakthrough's happening right here. I'm going to transform you right here. See, God can change your situation, my situation, by just thinking a thought. Speaking a word, he created the universe. He can change our circumstances right now. If he has not, though, does that mean, I guess he doesn't have the power, or I guess he's forgotten me, or he's too busy over here? No, it is often in the waiting where you are transformed, stretched the most, and that's what God is after. He is determined for you to have, get this, he's determined for you to have all that he has for you. And sometimes the waiting is the most important part, but it's hard. It is hard. I was talking to a woman who's waiting on a baby, longing for a baby. It's hard. I don't just throw out words of scripture to her. It's hard, you know? And God knows it's hard. Look what he says in Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Why does he tell us to be strong and take heart? Because waiting is hard. You've got a God who gets where you are. He's aware. He hasn't lost contact or lost touch. Here's a second point. Waiting well centers on the Word and the Spirit of God. You see this immediately in Simeon. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a whole sermon series that we're not going to teach on right now. But basically, he's waiting for the prophesied Messiah to come and rescue Israel from its oppression. Okay, how does he know to wait for the consolation of Israel? How does he even know that phrase? Most of us haven't heard that phrase before. How does he know that? Because he knows the word of God. He's pored over the prophets. He's read what Isaiah said in chapter 40, verse 1 and 2, when he speaks of the consolation of Israel. He knows the word of God. To wait well, we're going to have to get in the word of God. Because here's what happens. When you wait, all sorts of thoughts and words and things are coming at you. You have your own doubts. You have the pressure and the ways of the world. You have the spiritual attack from Satan. All these things are hitting you. And you've heard me say this before. It's my favorite metaphor of this season, this time, and that is, it's like a windshield. You've got a windshield, and the bugs of life are hitting your windshield, obscuring what's true. And the Word of God is like a windshield wiper that clears our windshield so we can see, oh, God's doing something here. Simeon's waiting for something that many people were not waiting for, but he knew to wait for it because the Word of God told him that the consolation of Israel was going to come. If you're waiting to wait well, be in the Word. If you don't know how to be in the Word, when you came in, you were handed a bulletin. And if you open it, why don't you open it right now while I got you here, okay? On the right-hand side at the bottom are 6 days worth of scriptures that are going to form the basis of my message for next week. And either above or below it is an explanation that says, if you want to know more about having a Bible study, getting into the Word, a devotional time with God, click on this link or, you know, paste this link, type this link into your computer on the internet. And it'll take you to a document I've written that helps you understand how to get into God's Word, like Simeon was likely doing. But look what else it says about Simeon, that the Holy Spirit was on him. Waiting well involves being centered on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. When you're in the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going to speak to you. Simeon was walking under the influence of the leadership, the direction, and the power of the Holy Spirit. God has that for you. God has that for you. But you're going to have to be centered on both of those things to wait well. That link I told you about will help you do that. So look at it if that's an issue, if you need to grow in that. Next verse, verse 26. We're told, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Here's another thing, number three. Waiting well involves growing more sensitive to the Spirit's voice. You want to know how crazy good God is? I mean, like, if you thought he was just throwing words here and there in the Bible, or it was just, created by a bunch of men, whatever. You know what the word Simeon means in Hebrew? First, let me tell you, Simeon is the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, all right? And the 12 tribes of Israel, those names are in Hebrew, Simeon being one of them. This man has been named Simeon by his parents. And you know what Simeon means? It means hearing. Waiting well involves growing more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not generally, not an audible voice, but being able to sense when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit. It's one of the sweetest gifts of waiting that we have. And you got to decide if you believe that or not. Hebrews 11 says, you got to come to Jesus with faith, because we got to believe that. Hebrews 11, 6 says, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God's telling you, I want you to come to me. Trust me. Come to me. Believe me. Expect me to speak. Expect me to make my will known. Like I said in Romans 12, 1 and James chapter 1. Expect, believe in the supernatural. If not, what are we doing? He says, no, I'm going to teach you how to hear my voice. You're going to know my will. It's not just a Simeon thing. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Moved by the Spirit. Number four, waiting well often requires interim action and obedience. The Bible doesn't say that moved by the Spirit that he would encounter the Messiah of Israel in the temple. Simeon went to the temple. It doesn't say that. It says just moved by the Spirit, Simeon goes to the temple. Sometimes God is going to tell you something to do, lead you to obey or take an action that may seem to you unrelated to the breakthrough that you have, that you're looking for. But for in his sovereign will, he's saying, no, I want you to do this. I just want you to go to the temple. That's what he said to Simeon. And Simeon could have said, well, God, can you give me a little more detail? Why do you want me to go to the temple? What am I going to find there? Is it going to be worth my time? Do I think it's wise to do this? But he just goes. He just goes. When I find somebody that's waiting, I often ask them, and they come to me, because they're despairing or they're tired or they're becoming discouraged. I'll say, hey, is there anything that you feel like God's telling you to do that maybe you've not done? You know you're supposed to. Maybe you read it in the Bible, or maybe you sensed it in your spirit. Maybe there's somebody that God wants you to forgive or ask forgiveness of, and you've not done that. Maybe there's something that he wants you to do or maybe not do anymore. Is there anything that you know for a fact God's expecting that you're sort of putting off? See, waiting well often requires interim action before the breakthrough comes, or obedience. And it may very well be that God is saying, you know what, you're not going to experience the breakthrough until you obey me in this. Like with Simeon. Simeon was not going to see the Messiah unless he went to the temple. So I'm just telling you, be expecting of that. So when Simeon goes, he sees the parents, Mary and Joseph, and they've got Jesus. And I don't know how you go up to a stranger and get the baby out of their arms, but somehow Simeon, that would not work this day and age, but Simeon took Jesus in his arms, verse 28, and praised God, saying, "Sovereign God, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." What do you think Simeon expected the consolation of Israel to look like? It had been revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died. What do you think he thought? Do you think he thought he was going to see a baby? I mean, in my flesh, I mean, just thinking in my human wisdom, I would think if God said, "Hey, you're going to see the Messiah before you die," I would think I would see the Messiah coming in power, coming in might, coming in wisdom. That's the Messiah. And we would all see him usher in this comfort, this consolation of Israel. I mean, I know there's certainly the scripture in Isaiah about the virgin giving birth, but if I were Simeon, I would have been thinking, "I can't wait to see what this Messiah looks like. He is going to be whatever." I'm sure that gave you the picture. Did that give you the picture right there? It doesn't do anything at home either. But here's what happens, number four. When you wait well, the Spirit makes you more perceptive and receptive of God's will. I mean, I think when Simeon walked in the temple, he may have scanned, and he might have, you know, and if he's walking in his own wisdom, he might have just passed over somebody. But the moment he saw Mary and Joseph with a baby, he's like, "That's the Messiah." He knew it. See, there's something about waiting well, being in the Word, waiting on the Spirit of God, that begins, he begins to tune your eyes, your ears, your spiritual ears to what he's doing. You see the world differently. Remember that song? You may not know the composer, Helen Limmel, but she wrote a song in the 1800s that said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Simeon wasn't a songwriter, but he knew the truth of that song. The things of earth had grown strangely dim to him. He now saw things the way that God saw things. And so when he saw that baby, he's like, "That's the Messiah." And he walks over and somehow gets Jesus in his arms, and he says these things. Because the more you're with Jesus, the more you're with the Lord, the more you become like the Lord. And so in verse 31, he continues to say, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He's acknowledging this is the Messiah. Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them. And then he says to Mary this: "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart too." Simeon, we don't know anything about Simeon except what's in this little passage. But the Lord is giving Simeon prophetic words to speak words about the Messiah, words about Mary that have never been spoken before. And that's what he does. When you wait on the Lord, when you humble yourself before him, when I'm seeking after him, that's waiting well. And waiting well gives God room to impart spiritual gifts to us and enhance those and to include us in what he's doing in the world. Simeon's just a guy who is taking hold well of his season of waiting, and it gives God room to say, Simeon, I got a word for the world and I'm going to let you say it. Would you say this when you hold that baby in your arms? When you look Mary in her eyes, would you say these words? You're not even going to know what they all mean. Mary won't either at that moment. Time will reveal this and the truth of what I've said. But would you say it? When we wait well, we give God room. You'll see him move in your life. You'll see him include you. I'm going to teach more on this next year. Here's the last thing I want you to know. This waiting thing, this waiting well thing, it's not just for Simeon. You know, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes, you know, we have this thing about comparing ourselves to other and maybe others. And maybe when you came in, maybe you look at some people and maybe you size them up and you assume that, well, you know, Brian McCleary must be way up here on the ladder of spirituality because he's a worship pastor. And then Pastor Kirk must, you know, at least be a notch or two behind of Brian. No, you know, must be up there somewhere. I'm teasing. Just up there somewhere. And me, well, I'm way down here. Oh, listen, everything you hear us preach or teach or sing about, it's something that God has for you. I want to tell you what the truth of this is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I want you to close your eyes. And I just want to pray something over you. It's a prayer that Paul prayed. It's what we call an apostolic prayer. He's an apostle. He's praying. And if Paul, an apostle of God, is praying something that God wanted in the Bible, then you can know that it's true, that it's God's will. And the Bible says that if we pray what is in God's will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have what we've asked for. So we know that this prayer is for us. And he says this, and I'm just going to pray it. Lord God, would you fill everyone in this room with a knowledge of your will? Lord, through all the wisdom and the understanding that your Spirit gives, would you fill them with the knowledge of your will? So that they may live a life that is worthy of the Lord, that is fully pleasing in your sight. Lord, may they bear fruit in every good work. Father, I'm asking, would you allow them, impart to them the ability to bear fruit in every good work, Lord, and that they may grow and increase in the knowledge of who you are and your love. God, I pray this so that they would be strengthened with all power and that they might give joyful thanks to you, taking hold well of who you are. Lord, I pray that for them in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray it because number 7, waiting well is something that God has for you. That's what that prayer is all about. Lord, teach them to wait well. Your waiting is not wasted, sweet people. It's not wasted. He's not forgotten you. Some of you waited a long time. Press into him. Press into him.